You're listening to the Wanderlust Swingers podcast with Aussie hosts Kate and Daryl. If you're curious about exploring your sexuality or the swinging, hot-wifing and non-monogamous lifestyle, you've definitely come to the right podcast. Or maybe you just love travel adventures. Either way, we share our personal, sometimes juicy, sexy stories as well as swingers club and event reviews, interviews with other sassy people and of course our global swinging adventures. We try to bring you a look into the diverse lifestyle that the swinging and non-monogamous community has. We hope you enjoy. Now let's get into the episode. G'day everyone and welcome to the Wanderlust Swingers podcast. I'm Kate.
I'm Daryl, I think.
We haven't done that in a while. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Something different. I'm not going to do a cultural tidbit today.
Why not?
Because we're staying in Amsterdam for this one. So I figure we've done quite a bit of Amsterdam. And quite frankly, I'm running out of cultural tidbits.
Well, you could give a false cultural tidbit like we received on the boat.
I should. Yes, that's true. I should actually start doing like two truths and a lie with my cultural tidbits.
I mean, you could.
I could. No, yeah, it'd amuse only me. So what are we talking about today? We're going to be talking about swingers dates, actually. So whether you're a seasoned swinger, a veteran in lifestyle, or you're just dipping your toes in lifestyle, we're going to talk about some dates, some dating etiquette, our top tips for dates. And we're also going to share a recent play session that we had here, right here actually, in the red light district of Amsterdam.
Yes.
I have a question for you though before we get started.
Okay.
How would you define the word date as it pertains to the swingers lifestyle?
Oh man, seriously?
Yeah, legit.
Do you want me to, should we just drag out the Webster's dictionary? And
no, I want you to talk about it because like I think it's different than a date in a normal, if you were like seeking a longer term, you're giving me funny looks.
So how?
Well, because I think when you're on a date seeking a longer term partner.
But maybe you're not seeking a longer term partner. Maybe you just want to get laid.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, as it pertains to the swingers lifestyle, how do you define a date? Tell me.
Changes depending on what you're looking to achieve. If you're looking to achieve a one night stand or a multi night stand or a longer term relationship.
Would you say there are key elements to each of them, though?
I mean, there's different assessment criteria, I think.
Like what?
Well, for a longer standing relationship, you want people you can tolerate.
Fair. The date itself, I mean, do you think that there is probably a standard kind of set of criteria in terms of like there will be maybe some food consumed and there might be some drinks consumed?
I don't think so, no.
No, you don't reckon?
No, I don't think it needs necessarily any of those things.
Your term for dates is a date is a date is a date. There's no difference.
Again, it depends on what the intent of the date is.
Hey, when's your next campaign coming out? When are you running for office?
It's not a political statement. It's just you need to understand there's different, depends on what you're trying to achieve.
Okay.
If you just want to get laid, then you don't necessarily want to have food with them.
Correct.
If you're looking to, you know, have a longer standing friendship / relationship, then that's got totally different requirements. So, yes, you might share food with them, etc.
Yeah, so you're saying you might want to share food with them?
If you want a longer relationship, you may share food and other things to just check whether you enjoy their company or not.
So like a longer term – so and a longer – hold on, this might be a time thing then. So for a date –
dude, you are way too fucking deep on the definition of a date. I mean, seriously, it's just a date. Okay. It's like, it depends on what you want out of it.
Okay, the reason I'm asking is because I actually put up, we had a date recently, which is the play session we're going to talk about a little bit later in the middle of the episode. But I put a post up because I was like, this is a really good question. Like, if we went to your city, where would you take people? What would a date look like in your city? And I thought this is going to be a really great question for people to talk about and kind of highlight their different city locations. Some of the responses are absolutely fabulous. So I've got a bunch of responses that I copied that I figure we can talk about. So the first one is Ja, and they said the London Tower Hotel has a 5-star menu with lots of open space looking over the river. That's a nice view. I always love a good view for a date.
I mean, yes, the people you're there with are the view that is likely most important.
Angie and Jay, who I think you might know.
Nah, never heard of them.
They said across the street.
Yeah, there's a surprise.
They're going for the convenience date.
Yeah, and also the bar where everybody knows their name.
Yeah, so there's a few bars across the road from Jay and Angie's house and, you know, you're obviously in close walking proximity to your bedroom. But I classify that as the convenience date couple.
Yeah.
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 You're able to have a few drinks. No one's driving. Bedroom's right there.
Yeah.
No cost for hotel.
I mean, but that could be anywhere in cycling distance from where we are.
That's very true.
So,
not that anybody in the Netherlands ever drinks and rides.
No, it's totally illegal, and it's never no Friday night or Saturday night will you see anyone that's incapable of walking but still capable of riding.
Exactly correct.
You'll never see that.
Rob said, a nice dinner on a jazz club or a rooftop bar and then a ladyboy bar and then go home. This person said they're in Bangkok.
Obviously. No, that actually sounds pretty good. I mean, locations in Bangkok are really nice.
They're fabulous,
as well,
aren't they? Yeah. They're so good.
Except they're always bloody hot. That's the only downside.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously more expensive than the, you know, street drinks.
No, I meant hot as in temperature-wise.
Yeah, I know, and then I added they're also very
expensive. You didn't use a joining word to add. You just made another statement.
Every moment that is hot is also expensive.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I liked that one. Jazz club, rooftop bar, ladyboy bar, then go home.
Yeah, see, so a ladyboy bar is kind of it could be a test, somewhat of a test as well for the people that you're there with.
True.
Because some people, a ladyboy bar might absolutely freak them out.
Yeah, that's true.
Or, you know, they may love it.
That's
they may
true.
Never leave.
I actually have this as a point in my tips later, so put a pin in that. Because
you know by the time we get there, I'm going to have forgotten everything.
How
that we're
is
talking.
Your goldfish brain going?
I'm not sure those who live in glass houses should be casting stones.
Those who live in fish tanks can't be casting stones. Holy shit, that was hilarious. Okay, and this is where it gets a little bit spicy. Stephen said date night. Like, seriously, trying to add some spice, not break up a marriage.
Huh?
So Stephen thinks the term date, he's saying date night, seriously, I'm in a lifestyle, I'm trying to add some spice, I'm not trying to break up my marriage. So in Stephen's mind, taking someone on a date is tantamount to potential divorce.
Yeah, but he might
divorce.
Be looking at it as a single date as well, rather than a couple date.
Mm.
Yeah. It depends on what you're trying to achieve out of that.
Yeah, I actually – so to go back to your question, I put on social media, if you were arranging a date night with a new couple coming into – so that's why I did actually say that. But, yeah, so Stephen thinks it's going to it's gonna break up his marriage for your date.
Well, I'm wondering whether Stephen's actually non-monogamous.
Yeah, that's what I wonder as well.
Yeah. Anyway,
whatever. Let's move on.
Stephen's got his opinion.
Let's move on to Jamie, who is also getting a bit spicy.
Yep.
Jamie says, you don't take – a swinging couple on a date night. You do a meet and greet in a club for dinner or a restaurant. You want to play with them, not marry them.
So quick question. What about if your club doesn't have dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, look, I don't
Semantics.
Think a date – does a date mean you're going to marry someone? I mean, I've dated a lot of women that I didn't marry.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of women that I didn't marry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure most people have. So I would have thought that a date could also be exclusive of marriage.
Well, this is where I was asking – this is why I wanted to ask you what a date was because I think for me, Jamie, it's semantics, mate. You're saying you go on a meet and greet. You're talking about being in a club. You're talking about possibly having dinner or going to a restaurant.
Sounds like a date.
Sounds like a fucking date to me, Jamie. I've got to be honest, mate. I don't know. Yeah. I find it interesting, Stephen and Jamie's responses there. For me, I don't know whether it – I don't want to yuck someone's yum. I don't want to pay out on the – actually, I do want to pay out on them a little bit. But do you think that this level of insecurity of like if you show somebody a good time outside of fucking.
Hang on. Stephen and Jamie may only be looking for people that they're going to shag. I mean, Jamie literally says that he just wants to play with them.
Yeah, I just want to play with them.
Yeah, so.
But then Jamie also says.
Yeah, no, I understand. But hey, look, you reached out to the internet and you got back exactly what you deserved.
That's true. All right, let's move on to Daniel. So Daniel says, I would take a drive to St. Augustine.
St. Augustine.
St. Augustine. Nice restaurant and then a little walk around the oldest city in America before hitting a couple of bars and then back to one of the nice hotels in the area. Perfection. Love it.
Sounds pretty nice.
Sounds pretty nice.
St. Augustine I know that saint, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you went to
St. Augustine.
You went to a school there.
Yeah, I went to a St. Augustine school.
Hence why you corrected me on St. Augustine.
Yeah, well, I mean, St. Augustine's is how it's pronounced in Australia.
True. Maybe it's pronounced that way in America. So Jason and Sarah are up next. Now, this actually was a response from Jason, but I'm lumping Sarah into this. I know them. They actually come to our events. They're lovely. And I want to read this in its entirety because this is my fucking jam. Are you ready?
Yep.
If it was a weekend... we would want to meet them in Minneapolis at either Lion's Pub or the Butcher's Tail. Both places have great food and a great atmosphere. We'd then head over to the gay 90s area to get front row seats for the La Follies Belleche show, followed by the La Femme drag show. At some point, we'd drift through the rest of the bar, which is other bars in there, 90s bar, happy hour bar, retro bar, NX game room. If we were there late enough and in a mood that is carefree enough, we'd finish the night with either hot dogs at the snack bar or head around the corner to get pizza slices. If luck would have it on our side and we were there for the second Thursday of the month, we would want to meet at the Rectangle Pizza in Uptown Minneapolis for a thick crust pizza, after which we'd sneak down a nearby alley to enter the speakeasy Volstead's Emporium to watch the Aperitif Burlesque show and enjoy dessert. By which time the show is finished, socializing with the performers, it would be off to the Byron Lake Bowl across the street for drinks and to finish the evening with a couple of rounds of bowling. Huh? That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, that sounds right up your alley.
First of all, that made me want to go to Minneapolis, which I know nothing about, by the way. But I read that and I'm like, clearly the city is the tits.
Well, it's smaller than Appalus.
It's a smaller than Appalus. Yeah, it's the mini version of Appalus. It's the
mini version of Appalus.
Yeah. That's right up my alley.
Yep.
The dude was like, oh, yeah, we'll hit up a burlesque show, then we'll maybe go see a drag show, and then we'll get some pizza, and there's a games room.
You don't need to reread it. We all sat through it first time round. Yes, we know this is your jam. I mean, for starters, burlesque, and, you know, then anything to do with drag, you're in.
I did love it. Said that they've got a really sexy hotel bar with an outdoor space that overlooks their waterfall. They attached a photo to it, and now I also want to go to Greensville, South Carolina.
So it's their own waterfall, or is it like Greensville's waterfall?
Maybe they've got partial ownership rights to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got some investment strategies happening, some retirement funds going on. I don't know. You don't know what they're capable of.
I don't know what you're capable of.
All right. So that's kind of some of what the responses were for people. If you wanted to take somebody on a date in your city, like where would you take them? What would you do? Interesting. I really enjoyed the variety there, but there was a common theme of like we would go out, we would have maybe some food, maybe some drinks, and maybe an activity, maybe, depending.
Yeah. So. Surprise, surprise. A date that includes food, drinks, and an activity.
Yeah.
Never would have thunk it.
Never would have thunk
it. You've really stumbled across some statistical gold here in your deep reach into the bowels of the internet.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm just recreating
words.
Words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a word salad you'd like to throw in there to make it sound like you actually had something to say?
No.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Let's talk about our PlayStation. So the reason this whole topic actually came up was because we recently had a date in Amsterdam. And this couple does not live in the Netherlands. They were visiting and we had the opportunity to catch up with them. And at the last minute, we booked a red light district canal cruise.
By we, of course, you mean you.
Yeah, let me just backtrack. Kate booked a red light district canal cruise. We then went for a little walk, had a quick drink at one bar before going to another bar that is a pretty sensual atmosphere with like a burlesque dancer, and it had a singer, had a DJ, nice little atmosphere, kind of funky writing on the wall, like the big neon sign that says, I fucking love fucking you.
Yes.
Big velvet drapes to get into, which I struggled to get out of twice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real test for the
You know, I saw somebody earlier in the evening trying to get out. I was like, what an idiot. And then I did the exact same thing. That's instant karma.
Yeah, well, not instant.
Not instant. Maybe sort 20 minute,
somewhat 20 minute delayed old. Karma.
Somewhat delayed karma. So yeah, so that was a date that we went on recently that kind of prompted my thoughts.
So you're going to say the name of the bar because it is a really nice bar. And if you're in Amsterdam and you're, you know, into burlesque or anything like that, it's a really nice place to go.
Yeah. So it's called Bar Rouge and it's in the middle of Amsterdam basically. So
yeah, it's in the red light district and it's called Bar Rouge.
Bar Rouge. Well,
can't imagine why. Bar Red.
Bar Red.
In the red light district.
Yes, it's a good one. It's a good one. I liked it. And we were originally supposed to go on a date with them on Wednesday, and this bar only opens from Thursday onwards. We had to move it, and I thought, brilliant, because now we can go to Bar Rouge. This is actually all perfect. It's all coming up, Kate. And that's a bar I've been wanting to go to for quite a while, and so I thought, why not kind of go there and have the opportunity to take somebody else there while we're going?
Yes.
So really, really great date, and the red light canal tour was good because it was an activity. It got us out doing something else. It was, you know, something to do during the day, kind of early afternoon. And it also was like a nice little treat for somebody who hasn't been to Amsterdam before.
Yeah.
And the lady lied.
Which lady?
The tour guide.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she didn't lie. She gave some misinformation.
She just.
She told us that all the houses that were painted black in Amsterdam were painted black to signify the plague.
Yeah, the plague people in the house during the plague.
And it's funny because we have a black house. And so we were like, wow, that's really interesting. Like we were like, wow, that we didn't know why. It was really interesting.
Well, we were wondering whether it was the same in Utrecht as it was in Amsterdam, which it isn't, no, by the way.
No. But why were the houses actually painted black?
Oh, they were painted black because they originally used tar to seal them.
There you go.
Yeah, basically. It's pretty simple. Seal them from the because most of them are – well, most of the black ones we saw are frontage against
canal
water.
Front, yeah.
Canal or ocean. So
yeah,
they do it to keep them sealed.
Yeah,
it was a cheap way rather than painting.
I thought that was pretty funny because at the beginning I was like, holy shit, and then no.
Yeah. It's not only tar. There's other reasons as well. But yeah.
But it wasn't the plague.
No.
It wasn't to point at the house and shun.
Not that I could find anywhere.
No. Okay.
In fact, I found quite a few articles on why that's bullshit. But not anything about
it's a good
why
story,
it was
though.
True. It's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Everyone can go home. So the play session. So we had this really nice date, and then at some point during the bar/dinner, we had a quick conversation about the potential to play. I came back from the bathroom, and things were kind of building and leading up into the potential for that to be a conversation or a question that was going to be soon discussed, right?
Yes.
So I came back from the bathroom. You and I had a quick little whisper of like, if this topic comes up, would we be open to play? And we both said, yes, we would. Fine. The hilarity is we then had to walk back to their hotel and we were like, okay, we've been out all day. We don't have condoms, blah, blah, blah. My question is though, so they were staying in a fancy-ish hotel, right? Pretty fancy.
Yes.
When I'm walking through these fancy hotels, when I know I'm not a guest, and then the added on, I don't know, potential guilt of knowing that we're going up into their room to fuck, I just get weird. I just think everybody's looking at us. I think like the concierge knows I shouldn't be there. He's looking at me like, get out of here, you riff-raff. Do you ever get that?
No. Not ever.
So what do you think when you're walking through the lobby of a really nice hotel, you're not staying there, you're going to fuck? Like, what's going through your head? Going to fuck?
Jesus, going hobby, to fuck? Jesus hotel looks nice. Let's get through here so we can get upstairs and fuck.
I'm like, concierge is looking at me. Oh, he knows what's going on. Oh, don't avoid eye contact.
Why does it matter if he knows what's going on?
I don't know. It's their hotel room. They've bought it for the night. They can do whatever the fuck
they
want.
We're literally holding hands fucking four wide in the street, but in the hotel it's a problem for you.
Yes. This is the irony. So we were walking along the street, holding hands and everything else. We were kissing in the restaurant too because the table next to us was all – the guy in the table was very interested in what was going on. But the minute I get into a fancy hotel, I get the guilt. Like somebody's going to go, Kate, get out of here. You are ridiculous. You slag.
Yeah. I mean, it's bound to happen at some point.
Yeah. Maybe someone's going to one day say like, hey, where's your room key? And I'm going to be like, no.
What do you mean? You just say we're staying with them. Why do you –
I don't know.
I don't know why. I mean.
So the funny thing is we get back to their room and I'm like, I want to have a shower. And this is something that we kind of do occasionally where it's like, okay, we've been out during the day, been doing stuff, want to do the freshen up. If you remember backtracking to the whole freshen up conversation.
Yeah.
Which also happened, it coincidentally happened to be about an Amsterdam play session we had as well.
Okay.
The freshen up.
Yep.
And so I'm like, I want to get in the shower. And so we went and kind of had a little freshen up session, but it actually kind of kickstarted things because the shower was actually quite big.
I think the discussion on condoms out in the street may have kickstarted things long before we made it to the hotel.
I meant the fact that it kind of kickstarted the play session.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
And I poked my head out a little bit into my shower and I was like, you know, there's room in here. Like, is anybody else going to come and join? And that's when the mister of the other couple came in and joined first of all, and then, you know, you and her kind of came in and we all had this like mutual shower session.
Thankfully, it was a big fucking shower. It's very not like the Netherlands or Amsterdam in general to have a shower that's big enough for four people.
No, well, normally it's not even big enough for a whole person. You've got to half out, half in.
I know.
Turn around.
My big concern is, you know, what if you wash your deodorant and antiperspirant off and then, you know, later you're sweating away? Gross. I'm kidding, of course. I don't care.
So next time you want to have like a little travel pack or just, you know, hey, we're getting pretty close. Can I borrow your
deodorant? The travel pack probably should include condoms.
Probably should include
condoms. Given that there were only three available and no lubricant from memory. So we were somewhat terrible at this.
We were definitely underpacked in terms of
everybody was.
Everybody,
nobody was. Nobody was expecting to play. In fact, there was an incident of a pubic stripe needing to be repaired that you'd forgotten all about, haven't you?
I had. Tell me about that.
There was a pubic stripe that needed to be repaired. Somebody had done a slash from one side to the other, or sort of diagonally. I can't remember what there was a title they gave it to it. It's the look of the front of a old music cover that I can't think of. Anyway, yeah,
we'll have to find out what it was.
There it was. So yeah, there was a stripe there.
There were many funny conversations about the whole. Like I was like, oh, I want to freshen up, and then there was like, yes, well, I just need to like shave this.
Yeah, well, we hadn't really
planned.
Well, nobody had intended to come and play.
Mm-mm.
That wasn't the intent in this particular scenario. So,
no.
Yeah, but it did end in a nice way, I suppose, in that we all found each other interesting enough.
Yes, but going back to the shower, normally the shower is never big enough for four people, so it just happened. Again, it's the fancy hotel.
Yep.
Oh, man, if that concierge knew there was four of us in the shower at the one time. Woo!
Jesus.
It's worse if they're wearing like a top hat and tails, like if it's like proper.
When are they ever wearing a fucking top hat and tails?
In London sometimes.
In what fucking hotel are you going to in
like
London?
The Savoy. The Savoy, they wear like top hats and tails to open the front door for
that's
you.
That's just fucking hell.
And that makes me even more
That happens so often, you know, that we walk into so many hotels
where there's
somebody wearing a top hat and tails.
Mustache and a monocle.
The hotels we walk into, there's normally some sort of hobo out the front asking for change.
That's me. I'm asking.
Or a fucking meth user holding the door open.
Oh, spare a dollar for me, governor. So.
Fucking hell. Yeah, moving on.
So one of the things I wanted to talk, before we talk about the duff sucking, it's fair to say they're both pretty fit, right?
Yes, it's very fair to say.
I felt so comfortable with them. I did not feel body conscious at all. Like the minute I stripped off and got in the shower to us fucking and everything else, I did not feel at all body conscious. And I know sometimes when you play with people who are fitter than you, you can feel a certain
way. That's everybody, mate. They're all fitter than us.
You can feel a certain way about, you know, well, what are they thinking? You know what I mean? If that's their body composition, what are they thinking about
No,
me?
Because they already invited you into the room.
Yeah.
So
maybe the clothes have hidden. You know, I've just managed to wear, it's like cloak and dagger, you know?
What, a fucking muumuu with shoulder pads so nobody can see anything underneath it. If they invite you in with that, then, you know.
You're good to go.
Yeah, pretty much guaranteed that anything underneath is only going to be a positive surprise.
Yeah, but I didn't feel body conscious at all, so I was really happy
about
that.
Great news.
Felt very accepted. And.
Because there's been so many cases in the past where you haven't been accepted.
There's been a few cases.
There has fucking not. Not a single one.
So we started off by pairing off and I started giving him head. I was over on the bed giving him head.
This is after being in the shower.
This is after the shower.
Yeah, after
this
the
is
shower.
After the whole thing.
Once everybody's butt crack's washed.
Once every single towel in the whole room has been used.
Yes, and everybody's butt crack's washed.
Everybody's butt crack's washed. We started playing and I started by giving him head over on the bed.
The first thing I did was re-lubricate my butt crack because there's nothing worse than a dry butt crack.
Seriously, though. He has a nice cock. Did you see his cock?
I did.
He has a very nice cock.
I didn't spend a lot of time staring at it, but I do understand that he has a penis.
Yeah.
And
she has a nice pussy as well, actually.
They both have nice genitals. But, I mean, outside of their genitals.
They're very nice people.
Just, I mean, if you want to distill them down to what their penis and vagina look like.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
No, so I was giving him head for a little while and you were over on the couch playing with her for quite a while. And then what ensued during this play session, I'm actually just going to call it the 69 play session.
Okay, I wasn't involved in a single 69.
Well, I was involved in like three or four 69s. It's the highest quantity of 69s I think I've ever had in a play session, period.
Period.
Period. So that's why I'm laming it the 69 okay. play session. So straight away then after I was sucking his cock, she came over and wanted a bit of girl time.
Yes.
And that's when the first 69 occurred.
Yes.
And so we were playing in the bed for quite a while you and him were sitting there.
We watched for a little while, and then we came over and sort of got involved with just some touching and, you know, feeling and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were sitting watching. I mean, it wasn't a fucking terrible view. we all sort of enjoyed the watching aspect as well.
I'm always intrigued because obviously when I'm doing that, especially during a 69 too, because there's a lot going on, I'm always intrigued what you're doing.
I know you came over multiple times and said, "What are you doing?" and then you, one of those times you joined us on the couch as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that kind of, then you kind of took over and then you dragged everyone back to the bed because it's like, why the fuck are we on the couch?
Well, to be fair, then the four of us were trying to sit. You know what? That couch was smaller than the fucking shower.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, but you come on over and go, "Hey, what are you guys up to?" And then you say, "Oh, we're going to join you." And then you say, "This is shit. We're moving back to the bed." It's like, well, you should come with us. It's like, well, okay. Well, I mean, we were happy here, but yeah, I mean, let's just trail Kate around the room.
Biggest room in Amsterdam. And then at one point I was licking her pussy, and this was where I brought you in.
Yes.
And so then you and I were kind of tag teaming. And here's what I want to say. It is a marathon licking pussy. And it's kind of nice.
I really enjoy
good to have a tag team.
What I enjoy about
me complaining about my jaw.
No, is how every time a woman gets involved in something, a man is normally encouraged to do. So, you know, licking pussy, fucking with a penis, like, so actually.
Oh yeah, like
fucking
having a dildo on. Yeah, strap on.
Or
bricklaying.
What?
Roof tiling.
Every time that it's like, oh my God, this is a lot harder than I believe it is. It's like, yeah.
Also, your fingers and stuff get sore, like your jaw, your tongue gets sore.
What are you doing with your fucking jaw? You're not chewing on the thing, are you? Jesus.
Yeah, so then you and I were going down on her for a little while.
Yes, for quite some while.
For quite some while, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, I'm glad I cleaned my ass crack at that point because I had bum in the air, right?
But she does have a very nice pussy. She does.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, of course.
And then I did actually, she was sucking your cock for a little while there. Yep. And then this is when her partner was kind of there and I said, I really want to watch you fuck her.
Yes.
And so then he started doing that and she actually sent me a text message about this the next day, semi-apologizing because I was like, I really want to see you fuck her. You know, that would be really visually pleasing for me. So he starts fucking her and then she drags me over again for another version of 69 kind of thing.
You mean you sat on her face whilst he was...
Yeah, and I did try to lick her pussy, but the whole thing was, you know...
How are you going
to
do that while he's fucking her?
I mean, that's what I'm trying to say, okay? I attempted it.
I don't know what you are trying to say. I don't think that... There's no physics in terms of what you've just outlined.
And
you were sitting on her face
and
you tried to lick her pussy whilst he was fucking her. All I hear there is
ow.
Spine dislocation as his pelvis thrusts against your head.
Well... A for effort. There was effort involved.
I mean, you put in a brave effort there, babe.
So yeah, so she pulls me on top for like a three-way fuck session, right? and then you come up from behind and you start actually playing with me too.
Yes.
Right. So you're helping now her. Now her wing person getting me off. Talk about physics. I'm curious whether or not you think so. We're on this three person fuck triangle.
Yes.
Do you think it would have been possible for you to slip in and give me anal at that point?
Yes, but I'm always somewhat cautious of giving somebody anal
over the top
above
of
somebody else.
That's fair.
For one simple reason.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But physically?
Yes, of course, it was entirely possible.
Physically, the triangle could have turned into a...
An octonorm.
Is that what it's called?
No.
Oh. Fuck, for a second there I was like, man, so smart.
No, octo is eight for starters, so I mean, yeah. I don't know what that would be called.
Too complex, maybe, that move, though.
I don't think it's that complex at all. It's just fraught with danger.
Fraught with danger. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, nobody wants a pooey penis falling on their forehead in the middle of... See? I told you, fraught with danger.
Oh, my God. Well, that was sexy for a moment.
It still is sexy. It's just, you just have to watch your movements.
Mm. Is that a move? Is that a position you would be interested in trying? Having somebody lick my pussy while you and then...
I know somebody who'd be really into that as well. And his wife would also be really interested in the other end of that where she's riding him.
So being receiving the anal?
No, you receiving the anal.
She's licking my pussy.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, I was thinking him on the bottom and her riding him right. The other way around.
I see.
Yeah, I think. Anyway, yeah.
Okay, who was that?
Our Texas friends. that traveled to Mexico.
Yeah, that would be actually right up her alley.
Yes, it would be right up her alley.
It would actually, I think it would be right up her alley. Oh, fuck. Oh. I am on fire. What can I say?
Yep, right up her alley.
So then after all the sexing is said and done, we then kind of laid on the bed naked for a little while. And we cuddled.
Yeah.
Four of us.
Yep.
Laid on the bed naked for a little bit. Mister got up, took a photo. I'm actually going to post that on social media.
Perv.
So there's the three of us. There's the three of us actually on the bed all naked after a sex session. There's also the three of us holding hands walking up the street. And I'm going to post those photos on social media as well.
Yeah.
With permission, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So there was that.
It was lovely. I enjoyed it. Hope we get to repeat it at some time in the future.
Absolutely.
Which I think we might.
Now,
young miss is a reasonably frequent visitor to
Europe. Oh, she did mention that.
Europe, so
yeah, because she was like, when I come back, like maybe I can, you know, unicorn.
Yeah, maybe that's something that we've never done that before.
Yeah, that actually could be an option. Would we take her out on a date?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a fucking gentleman.
Exactly.
Fucking take him.
That's my point.
I might just walk in, spit on her pussy and start fucking her.
Well, according to Stephen or Jamie earlier, like that's where it's at, man.
Yeah, but Steve-O and James-O don't know shit.
Funny thing about coming home, so they had a super early flight the next morning, like 6 a.m. We obviously had to get the train back and then ride home. You attempted to get pizza at Central Station. Didn't work. You got a kebab at Utrecht Station.
No, hang on. We got fucking cheese croissants at Central Station. They were so bad.
And then we rode home.
We did. And then we had a really nice kebab, late night kebab.
You did. I had a couple of bites.
Yeah. On the bike.
On the bike.
traveling kebab, which is actually a really nice way to eat a kebab.
It is actually.
Traveling kebab. Mm. I mean, for you though, you could only have two bites because your jaw was still so sore. Fucking sore jaw. I don't know what the fuck you're doing. Seriously.
Maybe we need to have a little like educational show and tell session.
Okay. Well, I mean, we need to organise a young lady to help out with that first so that I can look from the side and go, what the fuck are you doing? Why is your jaw involved in that movement? I don't remember the last time my jaw was involved in eating pussy. I really don't.
Okay.
Well, maybe we need to get you one of those fucking jaw strengthener things that you can just like chew on it all day before you know.
I go to the sports center and I'll say, listen, what have you guys got? Like it's like those wrists, the hand, like what rock climbers get to strengthen their grip, a version of that, but jaw.
A bag full of rice. Well, that's what you use. You put your hands in a bag of rice and you do this.
I was talking about the little
squeezy things.
Squeezy weighty
the
things.
The muscle squeezy weighty things.
Yeah, those things.
Oh, you could just use a bag of rice.
Bag of rice. I have four tips for the creation of the perfect date. I'm curious whether or not you agree with me. Are you ready?
I very much doubt it, but let's go.
Okay. Expand your date horizon. So one of the things that you and I like to do is we have an ongoing Google Keep list.
Didn't realize this was going to be such a long story. I mean, you just said four things and then I was going to poke holes in all of them. But
were you poking a hole now? This is good for you. This is on brand. So we have four. We have a Google Keep list where every time we see something new, we add it to the Google Keep list, like whether it's a bar, it's a restaurant or what. So my recommendation is to, if you see something that's like a new trendy bar in town or a nice activity, put it in your little list. So the next time you're going on a date, it can seem spontaneous and it can seem fun and everything else, but in actuality, it's been something you've been thinking about doing for a while.
Yeah.
Done.
But you're too lazy to do of your own accord because why would you ever want to go out on a date with your husband?
That's weird. Number two, beyond bar hopping. So I've got here like pick things that aren't just going to a bar for a drink. Like can you go axe throwing? Can you go karaoke? Can you do drag brunch?
Brunch doesn't include drinking.
Well, it does, but I'm saying like there's other activities involved as well.
None of those things don't include drinking.
That's true. Hiking. Go hiking.
Wait. Hiking doesn't include drinking?
Daryl's got his hip flask on his boots.
No, isn't that what they made the Camelback for?
Especially if you've got non-drinkers. But I just think having some sort of an activity is always a good shout.
Sorry, what was you mentioned some people that are something?
Non-drinkers.
Oh. What are those?
So my next thing is think about the sensual side of it. So this is where I said put a pin in it earlier.
Oh, I've got such a pin in something I've totally forgotten.
As the night's progressing, you know, is there a way for you to start looking to move the social aspect of it into more of a sexy theme? So for us, it was the Bar Rouge.
Would you like to go to our room?
And you know what I mean? You're building, it's something in between those two things. So the Bar Rouge was like a sexier environment. It was a dimmer environment.
Enlighten me with your majesty.
It had, you know, nice decor. It was sexier. I had burlesque lady.
Ah, got it. So instead of taking them from a shitty hellhole straight to the bedroom, you should take them from shitty hellhole to something that's less of a shitty hellhole to take them to the bedroom. Got it.
That's right. And my last one is to keep hydration up. Well, okay, you get hungry.
Jay and Angie will pipe in on this.
You just want to make sure everyone's got, like, you know,
water,
food and water.
It's just water. You just cannot let anybody have 5 minutes without asking them whether they want water.
I'm really thirsty right now too, actually.
Oh, man, if only the vat of water that you have in front of you was available for you to drink out of.
Champion. So that's my
like fucking, it's like 3 gallons of water.
I don't know how much it is. Anything else to add to those 4 tips for dates?
Find people you enjoy the time with. Otherwise,
that's a good thing, yeah.
Otherwise, just go on one drink at a bar sort of scenario, because if you don't like them after that, you can just leave.
So you're kind of thinking have an exit strategy. Number 5 might be like have something where don't plug yourself into I'm feeling unwell. Like a 4-hour, 5-hour, you know, dating thing. Like give yourself the opportunity to be
I think if you're going on a date with somebody, especially somebody new, don't make them aware of any plans past the first.
Right.
Because, if we didn't like the guys after the boat cruise, we could have just left, right? Could have just said, oh, okay, that was fun. We had a lovely thing.
That's true.
And move on.
Yep.
But we did like them, so we stayed.
Yeah, that's true.
It is very true.
Yeah, good idea.
Always have an out.
So coming up next, I've got an interview with a doctor and the owner of Shameless Care. We're going to be talking about DoxyPrep, which is a preventative drug used after exposure, and I'm curious whether or not we're going to think this is the best thing for the swingers lifestyle, so we'll see about that. And if you want to show us some love, please do leave us a review on Apple or a rating on Spotify, and we'll read it out on a future episode. So other than that, that has been, I don't know, dates in the swingers lifestyle according to Kate and Daryl, but not Jamie and Stephen.
Exactly. Looking forward to our date with Jamie and Stephen at some point in the future.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Be a slap in the face and a spit on the pussy.
Bye, guys.